This is Weekday. I'm Marcy Silman. Steve Scherr's on sabbatical till October. Coming up next hour, we review the news of the week. But first, French rodeo clowns are protesting a decision by the European Union to reduce the use of rodeo steers in competition. The commission is mandating papier-mâché bulls be used for most performances. The decisions galvanized the rodeo clown industry across the world. In Pendleton, Oregon, the group representing rodeo performers, the Organization for Understanding Cowboy Hopes, or OUCH, will be protesting the decision with a marathon barrel-hiding event.
Can I just sneak in here while Marcy's talking? And, you know, Katie, hi, it's good to see you.
Hey, Steve, how you doing? You.
Listen, come on over in the back. Have I ever shown you the Weekday Warehouse?
No.
Let me take you back in there and, you know, let me show you a few things because this is the last live Weekday, right?
I know.
Except for next hour. It's
a good time to review.
Yeah. I just wanted to take you into the warehouse for a little bit. Here we go. Yeah. Let's see what we can find back here. You know, the show's been on for 20 years. When Marcy and Dave and I started this show, it was 1993. Clinton was president. First Iraq War was over, but Kosovo and Bosnia was coming along.
I was in high school.
Who was the mayor then? Norm Rice, I think, was the mayor of Seattle then.
Grunge movement.
Grunge, height of grunge. Marcy was one of the grunge reporters, and she was indeed. All right, so here's where we're storing the segments that have only happened all over the years, because I like to keep everything stored and organized in crates and boxes. Here's Archbishop Desmond Tutu. This is a good place to start.
The only person that ever opened our conversation with a prayer, it says on the box.
Yeah, it was amazing. We met him at his hotel room when he was staying in downtown Seattle.
Let's start with a prayer, can we?
Yes.
Yeah. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful people and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send for thy Spirit, and they shall be made, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Amen.
Amen.
It's an ecumenical prayer. A Muslim, a Jew, a Christian can all say amen to it.
That was an amazing event.
Yeah,
going down to talk to Archbishop Desmond Tutu.
I remember that. He only agreed to talk to us, too.
I was lucky. Really nice. We had a lot of people over the years who we got to talk to. I'm amazed looking back. You know, you scan all these things and you see, because, you know, Arvid Håkonsson was a producer, Caitlin Duffy, Monica Spain. We had a lot of producers on this show. And then, you know, we had a lot of interesting people.
Hey,
one of the more interesting was Francis Ford Coppola.
Wasn't he the only guy that ever answered a cell phone during the interview?
Yeah, it was good.
You know, it's understandable. That's why I say, you know, the things you're fired for, the same things you get the Lifetime Achievement Award. But it makes sense because it's lonely to try to make a film that you can't say, well, it's going to be like Hitchcock or it's going to be like whatever, you know, some reference that people can say, oh, I get it. I like it. It's just like Hitchcock.
Yeah, well, that's what we hear is how Hollywood films are pitched, right?
Exactly.
You can get that. Oh, look at you with the iPhone. Very nice. Oh, is that your grandchild?
Can I just say I'm busy? Hello.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Francis, Stephen Barber, Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hi, I'm just on the radio now, so can I call you back?
I'll call you back, sir. I'm sorry.
No problem.
That's good. You know?
Stephen Barber. Is that someone?
I do not know. We'll Google him. We'll see if he's somebody you should call back or not.
That's terrible. Now people don't go on dates unless they Google the person.
I love that you can hear the guy on the other end of the line.
Yeah, yeah, and that he took the phone.
That he took the call.
For a while, I thought that was either he was goofing or that was a great director's ploy. But he took the phone call.
Hey, he got his own file in the warehouse, so
yeah,
it worked.
Yeah, I wonder what Stephen Barber thought about that in the end. That was the guy on the other end of the line.
I know. Well, we're in this section of the things that only ever happened once.
No, watch out for that. Watch out for that forklift.
Jeez, good grief.
Yeah, yeah. We got a lot of stuff we're moving around here.
Yeah,
Katie.
Yeah. Well, we're in the section of the things that only happen once on Weekday, and I think I remember one in, let's see, here's the file, a Nisqually earthquake file, the only earthquake that you were alive on the air for, at least so far, and you were in the middle of a gardening show with Carl Elliott.
That's a hard spray. There really is no readily available spray to control that because it lays its eggs in the actual fruit.
All right, I guess we call that an earthquake, huh?
Oh, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, this is wild. Wow, that's a serious earthquake. I imagine you folks are feeling that too. We'll probably bring you up to date on that as soon as we can. It's kind of affect your stomach a little bit there, Carl?
No, I'm just kind of riding this one.
Yeah.
I hope everyone is safe.
I do too. That's the first thing. We'll see what that was all about and bring you up to date.
That's what we called in Santa Cruz a roller.
Yeah, no kidding. We'll find out more about that. We'll keep you up to date on what that was and whether we're going to be feeling any more aftershocks from that and what that might mean. We'll bring you up to date. Carl, we were going to end this segment anyway, so okay. I guess we'll just end it right now. Carl Elliott joined us to talk about plants and gardening and also what happens in the world around us and the earth. We'll take a break. This is Weekday.
Is that actually the music we played when that was happening?
It's very jaunty as people survey their homes.
Carl was very clear. He was very cool about that, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. I could tell you were a little rattled, but only because I know you.
It was an earthquake.
And a big one at that.
Things did fall. You know, that's the beauty of doing live radio, though, right? I mean, that is so much fun. You never know what's going to happen in live radio. I think that's been the pillar of what we have done on KUOW is we get to be live.
Yeah.
And live is, you're on a tightrope when you're live, right?
That's right. You certainly are.
Speaking of that, let me take you over to another section of the warehouse.
Okay.
The warehouse, you notice the warehouse just goes on and on and on.
Yeah.
20 years, there's a lot of storage capacity. When we first built it, we thought everything had to be, you know, big. We didn't know we were going to be ending up with little terabytes of things. So the warehouse has some, you know, antiquities to it.
Yeah. It looks like it could use some repair, too, frankly.
Well, over there in that one corner, yeah. I know we had a leak. We sprung a leak one time. I don't know if you know this or not, but Dave Beck one time swam up the Ballard locks. It was a wonderful thing. So we do have that stored there, Dave swimming up the Ballard locks. But as you can see, it has sprung a leak. That was unfortunate.
All right, what's this other? Let's go through this door.
Yeah, this is the carefully avoiding a breakdown section. I'm pretty sure Joyce Carol Oates is shelved in here. Well, perhaps the interview with Joyce Carol Oates, but you never know. She might still be in there as well.
I remember her because she when she was on for this interview, she was not in the mood to talk, particularly about the book that she had written, which reflected on her husband's death. But she got sent by publicists on a book tour anyway. And
Katie,
we had her scheduled
I think not
not
prepared to talk or not interested in talking. I would say that I heard from many people who said, "Boy, that was an interesting train wreck you gave us."
Well, we kept getting emails throughout the whole hour of people who were absolutely captivated by the interview, not because of what she was talking about, but because she seemed like she was going to explode at any moment, and you were navigating her incredibly carefully, trying to lighten things up.
I had to cancel some of my lectures because I just couldn't do it like in the first couple of weeks or so. But then I went out and I would be very lonely and very miserable. And I thought, but I'm going to do it. And then when I was out on the road, when I travel, I would always call Ray at about 11 p.m. after I'd given a lecture or a reading or a visit a university. And that was the hardest time when I was out on the road and I couldn't call Ray to sort of check in. Then I really, really felt extremely lonely.
You did check in sometimes anyways, though, yes?
Well, I called some friends.
And didn't you also call your own answering machine?
Well, I call my own answering machine from the university sometimes, just to hear my husband's voice. That's true.
Uh-huh. What did that do for you?
Well, what would you think? Would you ever imagine doing that?
Mm-hmm. I would.
What, some sort of a solace? It's like looking at old snapshots of your parents or your grandparents who passed away. Who knows what these things do for us? They allow us to know that there was a time when somebody existed whom you loved and who loved you. Doesn't seem that perverse. I've found out that many, many people do that. And many women have a very hard time erasing their husband's messages on a telephone.
I talked to my father still, though he passed away 10 years ago.
Well, it's enormously consoling, and who knows why we do these things. I guess we're human.
That's why we do it. I also talked to my dog, but he's still with me. I guess in some ways the same reason.
Well, the dog answers you a little bit. The dog will respond.
He does answer me, yes, in his own way. He answers me.
That's right.
That was a hard hour.
I don't know. I think that was kind of a dumb question I asked her at the beginning, but she did give a good answer there.
She did.
Maybe she was right.
Maybe she was judging accordingly.
Maybe I was being a little foolish.
Oh.
Not that that would ever happen.
Oh my gosh, look here. I didn't know you saved this file. This is from the Pledge Drive?
The weekday warehouse, you know, we have a whole staff. We have about 150 people who work in the warehouse. Well, it's, you know,
I had no idea
24 hours,
going on.
7 days a week. Yeah, the warehouse is a bustle of activity. We have a bustle. We have all our breaks, everything is stored there.
Oh, man, I never thought I would hear this clip again. This is when you and I had our own, breakdown on the radio, which was during a pledge drive.
Think of the next 18 years and what's going to unfold. You want it to be high-quality information, right? You do not want it to all be the other news outlets that exist. As good as they are and as entertaining as they are, you want to make sure there's one that's going to give you high-quality information.
206-543-9595.
That's a little sobering, isn't it, think about that.
I had to take a beat.
Yeah. You'll be 50 or something like that. I mean, you don't have to do the exact math because I'm just sort of guessing.
I don't know if that's true. I'd have to actually figure it out.
I know, but you'll be out there. However, will be gone.
This is true.
18 years from now, they'll have put me in that mausoleum. But you will still have supported this institution with your hard-earned dollars.
If you want to pledge before Steve Scherer is put into a mausoleum, give us a call at 206-543-9595.
That's a little bit like Washington, wasn't it?
Talk about sobering. Let us all consider our deaths now. And ask yourself, do you want public radio to be alive after you're gone? 206-543-9595.
I think we probably do. Jeannie's telling us to bring it down.
Yes, pledge producers.
It was just
please.
All of a sudden the mortality of the situation was there. Now you see why I saved it in the warehouse, Katie. I mean, we're going to be shuttering this thing up in a few weeks, and I'll be in the warehouse.
Oh my gosh!
I believe
you're actually going to be on the new show. You'll have to start a new warehouse.
You'll hear this a lot
for
though.
The record.
Let me out. All right, let's move on to this next section. What is this section? This is the section labeled special effects.
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah, I like
it. You didn't know we had,
section.
Yeah. Again, watch out for the forklift, because those guys are moving fast, because, time is a-wasting.
What do you got here? You got elephant enema here?
That was very nice. You did that.
Yep.
That was very nice. You stuck your arm up an elephant's butt.
No, I did not. But I did stand in the splash zone.
Well, you did do the replacement, the hip replacement surgery.
Yes.
That was nice. There it is.
I don't think any of us expected that hip replacement surgery was going to sound so much like carpentry.
We're taking that ring of bone spurs down, try to get a sense of what direction the new socket that I'm going to put in wants to face.
49 or 50.
So we're taking our misshapen socket, and with these hemisphere-shaped reamers, turning it back into a round shape. Well, I think 54 is going to be just perfect. So this is a titanium socket, it's a hemisphere. It's got some holes that we're going to pass screws through, and it'll take a plastic bearing that we're going to use on her. I have a drill. We're using her landmarks to make sure that the socket goes in where it belongs. Do we have the shorter drill? Do you notice there's no glue holding the component to her bone? The components have microscopic pores that her bone can lock into, and that takes about 6 weeks' time. Good. Oh, work on her femur now, her thigh bone. So this is the cut surface of the femur where we took the ball off, and down this way is the right down the pipe, right down the tubular part of her thigh bone. We're going to get a stem into her into the tubular part of her thigh bone. Yeah, we've now got the man-made ball and socket components in place, and we're just trying to move her leg through a plausible range of motion. And if there's still some play between the ball and the socket as I'm tugging on it, so that I know that things aren't in there too tight. If it was too tight, there wouldn't be any play when I gave the leg a gentle tug. We just want a very small amount. That actually feels pretty good.
You know, I actually hired a lot of the people for the warehouse from the crew who was doing that hip replacement surgery.
That seems like a good crew. A handy bunch, at least.
They are a very handy bunch. Every time we trot that out, David Hyde, the producer David Hyde, actually decided not to go into that surgery.
Yeah, he turned pale when he heard the description.
All right, so this is the sound section, as you can tell. And about, as you know, the best sounds we've been getting over the last few years have been from you folks taking this tour of the weekday warehouse with us, the last day of the live weekday. I love Sound of the Day and the variety of sounds that are out there in the world. You do too, right? It's getting big and keeps growing, this file. Good friend Pumpkin the Goat there.
Weekday mascot.
Very nice. You know, the Sound of the Day is we're gonna open up a whole new section of the Sound of the Days in the record bin, so you'll still be sending your songs into that for the afternoon show.
Yeah, please do. Sound of the Day, keep them coming. Hey, let's move to a different section. You want to?
Yeah, I like this session. This is where we keep the weekday live shows, right?
Oh, right. Live from Town Hall, live from the Neptune. I want to hear the live show we did with Sherman Alexie.
All right.
Where's that? I remember, let's see, what
oh,
did
here
we
it
do?
Is.
We
had, here it is.
We had the audience ask him whatever questions that they wanted to. And let's see in the file here. It says that this is the one where he's responding to the question, why is Andrew Jackson still on the $20 bill?
Why is a genocidal monster on money? You know, that's the thing that we complain about presidents nowadays, but oh my God, they were so bad. Jackson was in a duel. He was in a number. He killed people in duels, Andrew Jackson. And there was one duel where
That he started.
Yes, he got into this fight because this guy called his wife a bigamist. The thing was, though, she was married to somebody else and married Andrew Jackson, so she was a bigamist. And so Andrew Jackson challenged him to a duel because the guy was right. So they got in this duel, and they fired, and both of their guns misfired, which by the rules of dueling meant that the fight was over. But Andrew Jackson reloaded and shot him and killed him.
And that was okay?
That was okay, apparently.
Their seconds agreed.
That guy was our president. So, you know, the stories of...
But he was younger. It was a youthful indiscretion.
Youthful indiscretion, you know, but he didn't inhale. So, for all of my complaining, the United States is so much better than it used to be. I mean, none of our presidents have, you know, gotten duels.
It's your country too, though, right?
Oh, yeah, I love this country.
Okay, you said your country earlier, so I was just checking.
Well, it is your country. I'm just renting.
My people got here just in the 20s.
I'm just renting, so I have a lease. It's a sublet, and it's not rent controlled.
I think it's a VRBO. Sherman Alexie, national treasure. That's why we keep him locked up in the weekday warehouse and bring him out every once in a while. What would we do without him? All right, let's go over to this other section. You know what we have? We have some theme music section.
Oh yeah.
Look at all these recordings here. All these records.
20 years of weekday. The theme song has passed around a bit.
We have to pack a lot into the warehouse. Here's the old Elvis Costello theme. Really, Katie, what is so funny about this rough understanding, huh?
I remember that theme. I remember that theme.
We had a different theme even earlier when we started the show.
Oh, yeah?
Because, you know, we were young hippies in the 90s.
Boy, were you.
Yeah. So we had a theme that, you know, had to reflect the time and the place.
Tone are you setting for the show with this music?
Imagine an early version of Hempfest. That's the tone.
Wow, that sounds like quite a show.
All right. I'm going to lock up the weekday warehouse.
Okay.
And Katie, you're staying in there because otherwise you'll be off to Rome in a few weeks.
But
right?
I've already made an agreement to go to Rome next year, Steve. I can't stay in the weekday warehouse.
Well, we'll keep Parchy in the weekday warehouse for memory, all right?
Yeah, I'll leave some toenail clippings, some hair. Fond memories of this place.
Gonna miss working with you.
I'm gonna miss working with you. I'm gonna miss.
Maybe we'll
with you.
Work together again someday in some form.
I hope so. I really do.
You are the radio genius of the area. So it was great working with you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that's it for Weekday Warehouse. I don't know if you folks can find it because it's not on the web, but it's around somewhere, probably rattling around in your brains. Katie Sewell's gone. Marcy Simmons coming in for the Week in Review. I am out of here for a month. And after 2 weeks of, we'll trot out a few old golden oldies for you. We'll bring you the record. We'll spin the record.
Yep. And then you'll be back on the record.
I will be on the record.
Yeah. This is Weekday. Thank you.